And good afternoon. I'm Judith Merriweather sitting in for Cheryl Castile this afternoon. We are going to do this program in honor of Hadley J. Castile, who is Cheryl Castile's father-in-law. He passed away last week, and they are having hours of visitation and the funeral tomorrow. And so this hour of creative and artistic talk will be dedicated to Hadley J. Castile, who did so much artistic, creative work in our community. Joining me in the studio this afternoon are a number of people involved with the Festival of Words. I believe this is the fifth annual Festival of Words?
Yes. Correct.
All right. So with me are Bruce Cohen, Roz Spencer, and Alex Johnson, here to talk about the Festival of Words. Roz is on the board of the Festival of Words. She will also be organizing the community stage part of Festival of Words. Alex Johnson is a performer and also a host on the community stage. And Bruce, very involved in the drive-by poetry, and his wife Cherie is on the board. So lots of involvement, lots of community involvement in Festival of the Words of Words. I think we should probably start off with the dates of Festival of Words?
Yeah, the dates, it actually kicks off on Thursday, November 8th. There's, you know, the Festival of Words is a collective of poets. Every year, different poets come to the St. Landry Parish area, specifically Grand Coteau, give seminars, workshops, and it kicks off Thursday, November 8th. And culminates on Saturday, November 10th, which is next week.
And I think you'll have a few sort of pre-events going on, including one drive-by this afternoon from 3:30 to 5 that I just got a little hint of, that is the students of the Magnet Academy of Cultural Arts. And
yes, they're a group that participate with us every year, and we're very excited about this year because we're working with them even more, and they will be participating for the community stage on November 10th.
Okay, and is there a website so as people are listening to us during this hour, they can go and get the complete schedule?
Yes, the website is festivalofwords.org.
All right, and one of the things that really strikes me about the Festival of Words are the individuals like yourselves who have been working with it, some for several years, some maybe just joining it, is your own personal creativity. And I know that's very important to Cheryl as she does the exchange, this exchange of creative personalities. And there is no dearth of creative personalities working in St. Landry Parish, and particularly for this Festival of Words. And so we're going to explore a bit your own creative endeavors, which are very diverse. You all do different things and very involved and committed to the community. And we'll put it all in context with the Festival of Words. So I think we're going to start off, Bruce, with you, since sure. I guess that drive-by event starts off today, and you've gotten involved in that. Why were you drawn to help organize the drive-by poetry?
Well, Patrice Melnick is the...
She's a great influencer.
That's all I have to say. Patrice is, you know, basically the executive director of the Festival of Words, put this together about 5 years ago for the St. Landry Parish area. And it was, she felt it was a way to connect, to make a human connection, personal connection with her community. She lives in Grand Coteau, runs the Casa Jesu Boutique Shop, beautiful little shop up there, beautiful little town. And my family, you know, Cherie and I have known Patrice for years. So she approached me last year and said, with your theatrical background, local actor, director, producer, teacher, would you like to get involved with the drive-by? And when you think of drive-by, this is not the drive-by that most people think about. This is a very nonviolent drive-by. This is where high school students specifically and some college students will go into a grocery store or a restaurant or dry cleaners and start reciting poetry.
What a novel idea.
That's why it's called drive-by. And now the owners know that we're coming. But the people who are shopping may not know. So it's a chance for them to get into the world of poetry, which then they may not be part of their lives. Mm-hmm. And that's where the connection comes in.
Right. Well, I'm going to ask Alex and Roz just to jump in here to just help us with this idea of drive-by poetry. Before you got involved, because many of us have I don't know, different concepts of what poetry is or what it should be before you got involved in spoken word, writing poetry. What did you think about poetry? Like, what would you have thought if someone said poetry?
Boring.
Because boring. Where did you encounter it at all?
School, grade school, of course. Right. Spoken word, I fell into it one night at my grandmother's house. Russell Simmons' Deaf Poetry played on HBO at late night. So I'd stay up all night watching it, and I fell in love with the performance and the words behind the performance. But basic poetry, school.
No. So before that, yes, boring, something boring, you did right. In school.
Right, in school and stayed in school, didn't come out of school.
I think most of us get introduced to poetry that right. way. And we get introduced to the classics, which is vitally important. But we think, you know, it's not something I can personally relate to sometimes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Maybe you can, maybe you can. But generally, I can't, you know, really relate to that a poem written 300 years ago.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you think poetry is just, yeah, it's mm-hmm. not for me. But not so. Yeah. You know, poetry is a way to communicate.
Right.
And my mother is a poet. She's a writer as well. So I would find her notebooks around the house and I read that. But the two never really related, the school poetry and my mother's.
Right.
It was different.
Didn't quite merge until
right.
something really clicked. Made you catch fire.
Right, right.
Yeah. And Roz, what did you think of poetry?
Well, actually, I guess I was a little bit different. I fell in love with it. I want to say 7 or 8. And I read a Blake poem. And my first Blake poem was The Tiger. And I just became obsessed with the image of this tiger mm-hmm, mm-hmm. supposed to be an adult and eating innocence away. And I just fell in love with it. But I really fell in love with it. And I know this is an oddest story, but I was watching The Cosby Show when I was little. And they were doing a spoken word piece on The Cosby Show. And I was like, what is this? So I started reading about Harlem Renaissance and Claude McKay and Langston Hughes and all of these people. So I've always admired it. I've always been like, oh, it's not quite my thing, but I love spoken word. And I love the fact that it has such a close tie to oral history. And it has such a close tie, especially for me, for in a Black culture with spoken word and oral history and hip hop. So for me, it was just a whole new world. And like Alex, when I became older and I saw Deaf Poetry Jam, that was it. I just was gone on it, and I loved it ever since.
Well, it sounds like you had a fortunate experience with poetry early on. The fact that you encountered Blake, I mean, that really can ignite one's imagination.
Well, my mom used to always laugh. I read anything that was put in front of me. I would just read anything. I would try anything. As a kid, I would go through these long phases where I would become obsessed with one thing and I would have to read everything about it. So, yeah, I was able to come in contact with a lot of things because of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Bruce, what do you remember? What were your first experiences with poetry?
Well, I was just thinking about it. There's a picture, a photograph of me that I remember taken staying home from school, being sick one day, holding a book of poetry in bed. And I was just taken in by, that's all I read when I was a kid. And then it's weird because I got away from it for a long time. And now I'm getting sucked right back in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was always there for me personally, you know? But I love the way that words were put together by people and rhyme or non-rhyme. And I just love the way that the thoughts and the ideas and the emotions and expressions. And, I mean, words are very important, especially as an actor. You know, words, you know, page to the stage is what we say. Words are very, very, very important. And obviously that's what poetry is about. It's communication with words.
Well, and it sounds feelings. Like that unites all of y'all, your love for word, mm-hmm. no matter
yes.
what particular
yes.
kind of poetry it is, and you came at it from different ways. And this drive by poetry sounds like an amazing effort to ignite kids and to ignite the community. And how long have you been involved with the festival, Alex?
It's been, what, 2 years? About 2 years.
And have you helped some of the kids with their drive-by
yes,
poems?
Yes, yes. I am the performance instructor.
Oh.
Right, so I do creative writing, but my main focus is performance.
Okay.
So I get them on stage.
What is your general sense of the response of both the kids and the people in the dry cleaning?
Well, people in the audience are shocked. Mm-hmm. A few, open mouths, drop jaw. The kids are excited to see the reaction and to see that they can silence a room. They're very nervous, of course, before they get up there, trembling, but they enjoy the reaction to see that they are important enough to gain a whole audience's attention.
Mm-hmm. What do you tell them, since you're kind of the performance coach for that? What are your instructions to them?
You're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Watch.
You keep repeating it over and over again.
Trust me, you're going to be okay. See, I told you you'd be okay.
And they believe you.
Pretty much.
So the first one is today, and they're high school kids, and they're going to be at Benny's Supermarket. Do they, depending upon the location, do they kind of tailor their poems? They're going to be like in a barbershop or a grocery store, or are they mindful of the audience they might encounter?
In any performance, mm-hmm. you always have to read your audience mm-hmm. and see what's best fit for your audience. So that's something that they do learn. Mm-hmm. But you'll be with them today, right, Bruce? Yeah. At Mecca? Or?
Okay.
I'm not really sure.
let's just talk also about this idea of performance coaching, because mm-hmm. I know in addition to just organizing this, Bruce, you are an amazing director, and that seems, in addition to love of words, this seems to be part of it too, y'all's desire to encourage performers, students, whether they be students or people in the community, to encourage them to communicate their ideas. And I know you've had a lot of experience at that. You've directed a lot of plays. Tell us just a bit about your background in theater.
I've been acting since I was 9 or 10 years old. I think even earlier. My mother was a radio actress. My father was a stage actor. And he saw some potential in me, and I grew up in Boston, and they have an incredible children's theater there, Boston Children's Theater, and I started taking classes, loved it, and started doing productions and performances, and, the rest is, as I say, is history, and I've been doing it ever since. I started raising children, so got out of it a little bit. But then my oldest son, when he was 7 or 8 years old, got the bug like I did, like father, like son, I guess. And he started going to auditions, and I started taking him there, and I started auditioning again. So I was doing shows with him, and then I got back into it and just been sailing ever since in theater. And when I got here to Lafayette, just the world opened up. I was in L.A. for years trying as a struggling actor. Mm-hmm. I come in and every door in the world is open for me. I just did an episode of Treme and, went to New York City and did a show produced here, totally here in Lafayette, took it to New York City and, so all the doors have opened here mm-hmm. in Lafayette.
Well, and I think what people find very interesting about what all of you are doing is that you're doing it in addition to other jobs, that sometimes we think, and there is an attitude that it's really not worth doing something unless it's a career, unless you actually get remuneration for it, money that you can be paid for a job. But all of you seem to be doing this around other jobs for passion, for communicating the joy of what you do to others. And that's fascinating, that the amount of time and energy that you all put into that. And I know, Bruce, you're a teacher as well. You work in the schools.
I do. I'm the talented theater teacher for Vermilion Parish.
So in addition to that, you find time for all these other things that you're describing.
Yeah. I try. It's this whole thing is about passion. And I just want to just mention Hadley for a second, because mm-hmm. the show is being dedicated to him. Yeah. One of the most passionate, funniest guys I've ever met in my life. And passion comes from understanding your creativity. And you can be passionate about anything, collecting garbage, music, whatever you're passionate about. If you find it within yourself and you let it out, that's what life is all about. That's making the connection to yourself and to where your place is in the scheme of things. Mm. At least that's my personal feeling. And I see it all the time. I see passion everywhere, especially in Acadiana and Lafayette. I see passion everywhere, just coming out of the woodwork mm-hmm. in every shape and form, you know. And it just, it fills me up.
Mm-hmm. Well, but all of y'all work with young kids in some
yeah.
way.
Yeah. And that's, and I see the passion there. And that's what, I mean, that just fuels me mm-hmm. to see it so young kids. I work with a girl in second grade, and I can see her passion mm-hmm. for performance.
And I imagine, though, going alongside of that, I mean, there are kids who have some natural passion early on, perhaps like Roz, but there are other kids, too, I'm sure, who have not, just like Alex is saying, that she thought poetry was boring, you know, in school. But you had a lot to say, and right. for that to arrive in your life, that something, someone was able to instill the passion and show you the way, I think all of y'all have a gift at that. And, I mean, again, there are those wonderful natural kids who leap onto a stage very early on and know what they're going to be doing. But your gift and your talent here is, I guess, to show that and to guide other kids to open that door that may not have been opened before. And so, Bruce, you're in the talented program. You're trying to lead kids to that.
Right.
What kinds of things do you do in your class? I mean, again, there's obviously those really naturally talented kids. How do you encourage those whose attitude may not be so open?
Just like you say, opening a door. Mm-hmm. I think people sometimes let fear run their life in regards to what spark is inside of them. Mm-hmm. And fear, you know, runs a lot of people's lives. And I just think that if you drop down the facade and you drop, you know, you open up that door, that there is a light, that there is something you can do, something you can contribute. Mm-hmm. You can contribute anything that's you, that's part of you, you can contribute. You know, I'm going to let you find out what that is. I'm not going to, you know, put you in a little maze and, oh, no, it can't go that way. It can't go that way. No, I'm going to give you an opportunity to explore what you can do, what you can contribute to the world at a very young age. And then with the very young kids, it's just they're already there. Mm. I mean, very young kids are completely open. It's when we become adults when we start closing up a mm-hmm. little bit.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. times.
Right?
Yes.
When we become adults, the fear is more and the misunderstanding is more. When you're a kid, you're completely open. That's why I love working with young kids. Mm-hmm. But I work with high school, junior high and high school kids too. And you tend to see some of that happening.
There's a fear there.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what I do is I do a lot of improv. And you guys work improv too. And I just do a lot of, basically, really, a lot of it is improv to open them up. And then I work with them individually. A lot of them are in their speech and debate teams in their respective schools. So I work with them on their pieces. They present their pieces to me, and I give them criticism. I'll walk them through it, work them through it. We do a lot of scene work. We do one thing I'm trying to do in Vermilion Parish is to organize a showcase towards the end of the school year in a theater outside of the school system in Vermilion Parish so these kids can showcase their talents. You know,
you're offering a lot of opportunities, and I want to tell people that one of the opportunities we're talking about right now is the Festival of Words, and in particular, Drive by Poetry. My guests are Bruce Cohen, who is organizing the Drive by Poetry element of the Festival of Words. Alex Johnson, also known as Poetic Soul, is one of the performers in the Festival of Words, as well as a host of the community stage, and Ross Spencer on the board of Festival of Words and organizing the community stage. We're going to come back and talk a bit more about the Festival of Words and the Drive by Poetry. But I think Bruce has a few selections of music. We're going to give one to something that's inspired him. And really, that's what it's about, is inspiration and how all of you are inspiring kids in so many various ways. Again, this show is dedicated to Hadley Castile. I'm Judith Merriweather, sitting in for Cheryl Castile. Her father-in-law, Hadley J. Castile, passed away last week. And so we're honoring him today, as they are up in St. Landry Parish. So Bruce, what do we have? I think Cecil's got a few selections over there.
Not sure what she's going to play first, but blues really inspires me, and R&B inspires me, specifically horns, love horns. So I'm not sure what he has queued up first, but I brought in a few selections, and let's be surprised.
All right. Piece of music, very inspiring to my guest, Bruce Cohen. Also in the room are Alex Johnson, Poetic Soul, and Ross Spencer, here to talk about the annual Festival of Words that takes place in South St. Landry Parish and St. Martin Parish as well. An amazing festival that brings together professional writers and budding young writers and all of you who are so involved in inspiring kids in particular to find themselves and to be able to express themselves. And Bruce, you're an amazing director, and as soon as that music came on, you kind of took charge and started talking about what we should be talking about, and it was great. You just kind of, everyone just, you know, I can see why you would be so effective on stage. And so we are going to take your advice and talk just a bit about Alex Johnson, known as Poetic Soul, because a lot of what you do as a performer inspires kids. You are a part of Project Sound, which is an organization that goes into the schools and works with kids. How long, you mentioned earlier that at some point poetry was boring, and then you heard, then you heard spoken word. What happened to you at that point? How did you start developing yourself as an artist?
Teen drama.
Teen drama.
Right.
In high school?
A little bit in middle school. I'd write things down, but, you know, I never really associated anything. It was more of a diary, mm-hmm. if you would. In high school, that's when I really started writing poetry, because I was depressed. Mm-hmm. Most teens are. Uh-huh. And no one wants to listen to a kid or a teenager because they don't know anything. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't know what's going on. Not intelligent enough to understand adult problems, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So I just write it down because no one wanted to hear what I had to say anyway.
Mm-hmm. So while you were doing that, writing down privately in mm-hmm. a journal, you were also in speech in high school?
No.
So when you said teen drama, you actually meant personal
drama? Right, personal drama.
Not dramatic interpretation
in
speech.
No. Personal.
So you were gathering material.
From life situations.
When did you begin actually shaping that into something that you felt you could perform? Or what inspired you to actually perform?
Well, deaf poetry inspired me to start mm-hmm. performing. The first time I performed, I was 19. About 19.
So this was past, you know, that early high school drama and all of the words you were writing in your journals.
Everything.
And when you say deaf poetry, tell us what you mean by that.
Deaf poetry, Russell Simmons Deaf Poetry, the television show where spoken word artists come on stage and on TV and mm-hmm. perform, basically.
Not everyone in our audience may be quite familiar with it.
Oh.
So you were watching that as you were gathering your own material.
Basically, right.
Where did you perform first? What was the occasion?
Visions Bar and Grill. Mm-hmm. Was the first place. I was on stage in tears. Not because I was hurt from my poetry or sad, you know, emotional from the life situation. I was just really, really scared.
That can bring on tears.
Yeah.
Did you have any coaching or had you just been watching and felt it was time?
Right. I just felt it was time watching the show and just mm-hmm. being overdramatic. Mm-hmm. Being around me, people that know me, I'm pretty overdramatic. Right, Ross?
Mm-hmm. So you had a propensity to express yourself.
Pretty much, right. Right.
So you were in tears, but how did it actually feel? What did you feel after that performance?
It's amazing. It is an amazing feeling. And I mean, just like anything, like learning to ride your bike the first time, you're scared. You're scared you're going to fall off. It takes a while to get used to. My first time, I was in a ditch with a bike on top of me. And my aunt told me, you know, get up, because mm-hmm. I'm not going to go in there. There are snakes mm-hmm. in the ditch. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to save you. Figure it out. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to get through that hard point. But once you passed it, it becomes natural. It's easy. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's everything in life. Everything.
What did that do to your writings? Because for a long time you were writing in journals, kind of something private. What did it do to you to actually be on stage in front of people? How did that start shaping what you wrote?
Finally, someone can hear what I have to say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Finally, someone's going to listen. And if no one else cares, I at least let it out for myself.
Right.
Because in spoken word, you know, being on stage, you're talking yourself through it. You know, you're talking yourself through the pain and letting it out. So, and that's one of the main things that I want the kids to understand. You know, it's not just that you're going to write a beautiful poem. What is it inside you that you want to say that you've not been able to say? Because now's the time to say it. And it doesn't matter what anyone else says, not mom or dad or stranger in the audience. All that matters right now is you mm-hmm. and your feelings. Mm-hmm. So go ahead and just let it out, you know, and then we'll make it beautiful
afterwards.
Yeah. Right.
What was the response? What kinds of responses did you get after you began performing it?
Performing me personally?
Your own poetry, your own work, yeah.
Honestly, uh-huh. standing ovations.
All right.
Honestly, I don't want to sound vain or conceited, but that's the second time I performed. I was at the Red Cat Jazz Cafe in Houston, uh-huh. and I was with my little notebook sitting on the stage in tears, crying, yeah. and the workers stopped. Everyone stopped. People started coming out of the kitchen, and everyone was like, oh my God, she's amazing, keep going. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, are you serious? Mm-hmm. Shaking with my little notebook.
Yeah. I have to say, I had the experience of hearing you for the first time on Friday. A friend of mine who was from New Orleans was there as well, and we were both struck by you. And later she said that was the best performance there. So obviously people continuing to be moved. And in addition to the words, there's something very genuine about the expression of it. So absolutely, for our audience who has not heard you, I give that validation as well, that yes, I can understand why they gave you a standing ovation. So you've been trying to take that experience, writing the initial getting on stage and realizing you could say anything and be accepted for it. Right. You're trying to translate that to young people, to students.
Right.
Some of these kids must have never written before.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, you had been doing a notebook. How do you get them to actually start writing?
Just do it.
Just do it.
There's really no other explanation.
Make it sound so easy.
And kids tend to attract to me, I guess, because of my appearance. And I'm really, really goofy. Really goofy. So
what? Yeah.
So I try and reach them on their level, mm-hmm. you know, and we'll play around a little bit and I'll kind of coerce them jokingly. Just write it down. It's not a big deal. Let it go.
Well, I would add to that.
It's really simple.
In addition, maybe goofy, to also being incredibly genuine and sincere. And I can imagine with young kids creating for them a sense of security and honesty.
I'm very, very honest. I'm brutally honest, actually. Mm-hmm. I just say it in different ways.
Well, Alex did a workshop with me last year.
Mm-hmm. And you can attest to all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And she works basically the same way that I work. And people call me Goofy, too. But
yeah,
like I look like Goofy from Disney. No. But I can attest to the fact that it's just, you know, it's like she says, doing it. But we try to bring them to a point where they're emotionally feeling that they need to write something down mm-hmm. or speak something that means strongly to them, mm-hmm. to bring that out. So we work with them in that way and kind of, you know, guiding, coercing a little bit, you know, here and there, you know, maybe a little bit of push that way, a little bit of push that way. But I mean, it's really trying to get them to get on their own feet and do their own thing and feel comfortable about it. Because, mm-hmm. you know, as Alice can attest, the fear that is just, I can remember the first time I went on stage, you know, the fear that gripped me. You know, to be in front of thousands of people, and what if I miss my line? What if, you know, my pants fall down? When, you know, whatever. And all these what ifs. And you just got to get out there and do it.
And each of you have said that after that initial experience, you recognized you were okay.
Correct.
You did live, and people responded very well to you.
And one of the exercises that I do with the kids, I have them look in the mirror. By themselves alone, you sit there and stare in the mirror and look at yourself, look in your eyes and look at every flaw that you think you have and become comfortable with yourself, you know, because that's one of the hardest things that anybody has to deal with is looking in the mirror. I know when I was younger, I went months without looking in the mirror at all. I forgot I had eyebrows. The kids laugh at me when I tell them that, but it's true, you know, and I was distraught that I didn't realize that. And it sounds stupid, but, you know, when you don't love yourself, when you hate yourself so much, you know, your mind takes you to different places, you know, and you have to learn to control yourself. The first step is to look at yourself and accept yourself for who you are, you know. And if no one else does, I mean, it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, all you have is you, you know. So,
and you've done this for a while now, both Project Sound and the Drive By Poetry with Festival of Words. And can you see a difference with these kids?
I mean,
when they actually do perform in the grocery store or, I mean, that's even worse than being just on a stage, because you're performing for people who haven't paid to come in and see you.
Right. No one is prepared.
They're not
expecting that.
This is your community.
Right.
These are people who might know your grandparents or,
someone's going to talk about you later.
Right. And so you are really encouraging them on so many levels to accept themselves.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you feel this program is successful, the Drive By Poetry.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. Very much so. Mm-hmm.
If you have just tuned in, we are talking about the annual Festival of Words in St. Landry and St. Martin parishes, kind of centered around Grand Coteau, Opelousas, Arnaville. With me are people involved in so many areas and up there, Roz Spencer and Alex Johnson, both with Project Sound, and they are involved in the drive-by poetry with Festival of Words, as well as the community stage. Now, the community stage is different than drive-by poetry. There's actually a stage set up. And where is that set up for festival?
The community stage is set up outside of Casa Azul, where that way people who are walking down the street on a road, which we've had
driving
people,
by.
Yes, mm-hmm. literally pull over and park and come up and watch. It's just to involve all of the community. And so the poets reflect that. We have poets from all different walks of life. We have what we call page poets. We have spoken word performers.
We have free form.
We have musicians jump up there and read, people who write nonfiction. We just want to share the literary arts, that the literary arts are important because right now they're being pushed out of the school system.
Mm-hmm.
Project Sound, my group, we go and we visit different schools and we teach spoken word creative writing and performance and multimedia art in the classroom. And we notice more and more the units are going away. Narrative is being taken out of the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
Creative writing is being taken out. So we want to keep reminding people the importance of literary arts, that it is important. And that's why I admire Patrice so much, is she's done all this work just because of her love of her community of people, of literary arts, and she believes in the power of words. And that's why we're all gathered. Even though Bruce is a performer and Alex does performance, it's the power of these words given life on stage. So the words are the foundation, and it's so important. And that is why we are so 100% behind Festival Words and Patrice and drive-by poetry and community stage and the book signings and the creative writing workshops. It's because all these things are inherent and in part of each other, and they make a whole. And a whole is much greater than each part. And so the fact that this festival is going on in Grand Coteau, this little small town, and that it's changing so many people's life, and that we are working with so much of the youth, and that they're saying, and we have one of our students who is going to Tulane right now with creative writing department, and she's coming back to perform with us because she was so touched by performing and participating with us last year. So we are we're very, very excited about this.
Well, and just everything you're saying too, I mean, in so many ways this is bringing word back to how communities used to share words.
Yes.
And rather than it just being some boring subject, as Alex said, in a classroom maybe a few times a year. And it really, for so many people, became relegated to that. And the power and the magic of the word, of sharing in a community, has become lost for so many of us.
Right.
We don't see it as something magical anymore that both transforms us and those listening to us. So it's really is a magical thing that you all are doing and giving power back to people using their words. So community stage, is that just going to be, now the drive-by is happening at various times during the festival.
Yes.
When is the community stage taking place?
The community stage is taking place from 11 to 2:30, and some of the poets who are participating in drive-by will be at the community stage and vice versa. So we move them in and out. And another way we could see it as is drive-by poetry is a representative a Festival of Words. They're going out and they're grabbing people on the street and they're saying, this is what we do, this is what we have to say, but also this is where we're coming from and this is who we're representing.
Mm-hmm.
And I see spoken word and what I do teaching creative writing and Alex doing a performance part and Bruce working with the kids with drive-by poetry. For me, I see it also as being a tool in advocating the importance of literary arts.
Mm.
This is more than just expressing yourself. This is maintaining and preserving a way of life that needs to be preserved.
Right.
Literary arts increases critical thinking. And right now, I see a lot of kids who are trapped not only by not being able to express themselves, but not being able to express themselves themselves critically and creatively. Mm-hmm. They're lost. And if you don't have literary arts in the classroom and you don't have literary arts out there in the world being celebrated, mm-hmm. then we're kind of lost yeah. because in the past, literary arts was celebrated. It was something that was just a way of life. It was just a part of life. And now the fact that it's being pigeonholed into, oh, you're just an artist, that mm-hmm. kind of hurts me. And I don't believe that. Like I tell my kids every day, I don't believe everyone can be the greatest writer or the greatest artist, but we are all creative people. Right. We all have creativity. We all have that moment, whether you're in a creating something out of a wood shop, you're on a fiddle, you're doing performance art, you're writing, you're in the theater. We all have creativity, and we should celebrate that. And that's the greatest thing about arts, especially literary arts, it's a celebration of creativity. So let's celebrate it, and we shouldn't pigeonhole it, and we Absolutely. Shouldn't take it out.
That's funny. I was just saying that to somebody the other day, that we, everybody has this creative spark. Everybody is innately born with it. It's whether we choose to tap into it or not,
yeah.
or how we tap into it, and where we take it when we tap into it.
Well, we're going to get back on with some more creative talk in just a moment. I want to remind people that we're talking about the Festival of Words, which takes place in Grand Coteau, Opelousas, Arneville, South St. Landry Parish, and St. Martin Parish. It runs November 8th through the 10th, but there are some other workshops and events happening before that as well. So probably best to go to the website. Drive-by poetry going on. We're going to come back with Ross Spencer, Alex Johnson, and Bruce Cohn in just a moment. But Bruce has a special selection of music that he wanted to play that comes from a really interesting album that is also celebrating the youth, Cajun and Creole youth around here. And do you want to tell us about that album?
Yeah, en Francais. I know there's a volume 2 coming out. This is from volume 1. And I grew up in the 60s, so rock and roll music was, you know, was my cup of tea. Mm-hmm. Jimi Hendrix was my man. And I picked off, en français, I picked off Corey LeDay's version of Fay Joe.
Incredible. Young Cajun and Creole musicians singing yeah. rock songs in French.
Thank you. aiuti va curi asta di mojo aiuti go e jo aiuti va curi asta gigon ba don su when I va don la Mexico way. J'y gon pas dans sous, ouais la vache pas mon aller. Y'a pas boulot qui va, qui va mettre écoute tout mon cou. Hey Joe, faut y gon, dis baba, tu begin. Keep going, Joe, I'll stay.
Pretty incredible performance by a young musician around here, young Creole musician involved in En Francais, which is a project to take young Cajun and Creole musicians, have them translate rock songs and perform them. And it's an incredible crossroads of talent. My guests here in many ways do something similar, and they are helping to inspire young people to perform, to write and perform. My guests are with the Festival of Words, which takes place in Grand Coteau and in South St. Landry Parish, St. Martin Parish. It is November 8th through the 11th, through the 10th. My guests are Alex Johnson, Poetic Soul is her stage name, Roz Spencer and Bruce Cohn, again, all with the Festival of Words. And we're going to do a little bit of performance here ourselves, because you will be involved in performance in addition to helping these young people perform. And of course, your own performances are one thing that inspires them. So, Alex, you've been performing since you were 19.
Right.
You've been writing all of its original that
right.
you do.
Right.
So can you do a piece? You said, I'm always ready to perform. You have no papers in front of you.
Yeah,
this is something you have within you coming from your soul.
I'm originally a slam poet,
okay.
And props are not allowed. No paper or anything.
All right.
So this piece is about bullying. Mm-hmm. It's the topic that I'm really focused on. I think we are all focused on bullying right now.
And something that must touch your students.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right.
There is no feeling in the world that compares to the feeling of being alone. Confined to your own thoughts as their screams precede articulation. Resonating pain to accent your flaws, drowning out your voice, securing those bars that hold you close. They remind you of every moment you dread. They remind you of, well, you know, the bus stop, the lunch line, the classroom. Home, the mirror, more than anything, the mirror. And I know people say that every day is a new day, but when I wake up, some things just won't go away. So I stopped looking. I thought that if I didn't see me, then they wouldn't see me and all the pain would drift away, but it didn't. Nah, it didn't. And I know because people always tell me that God doesn't make mistakes, but that doesn't explain why I can't look at me. Why, every time I walk out my front door, you remind me that I'm ugly. And why, every time I stand, you remind me that I'm shape bunny. And why, every time I raise my hand, you ignore me. And every time I open my mouth to speak, you remind me that stupid is all I will be. And why, every time I look up at me, there is nothing there. Nothing. Nothing but these translucent tears weighted by my imperfections, hailing to cover up my footprints. I am nothing, and I've been nothing for so long that I've not learned my own voice. I am nothing. When will you stop judging? When will you stop criticizing? When will you stop yelling and just stop and love me? Thank you.
That was Alex Johnson, poetic soul, actually, right there. A member of Project Sound, which goes into the schools and inspires and helps kids to write and express themselves. Also, with Drive By Poetry, you're the performance coach. And I can see why they would choose you to do that. And I think people can understand, if they were listening earlier, why the responses to your work were so immediately and so so positive. How do you get them to perform like that? What do you tell them? What points do you give them when they're going out or when they're going to be on the stage? From your own particular, do you talk about, I guess, tone? Do you talk about rhythm? Yes. What words do you use?
Really, and I don't really like to use a whole lot of terminology and jargon and stuff like that. The most important thing for me to relate to the students is letting out these emotions that you are holding in. You can't keep everything bottled up. At some point, if you keep holding it in, you're gonna explode. Mm-hmm. So focus the energy, that negative feeling or whatever feeling you have inside of you that is weighing down on you, or even if it's something happy, let it out. Mm-hmm. Let it out on stage.
Well, one of the exercises we do is, for example, we'll tell them to take a memory and revisit it. Right. But we wanted them to revisit it using all five senses, because right. like mm-hmm. we tell them, no memory is static, no memory is two-dimensional, it's three-dimensional. And then I'll get them to break it down piece by piece. And Alex's huge thing, which I think she forgot, is she always says underline it.
Oh, yes.
Accentuate, that go back can. Over it. So
the words that right. you want to
yes.
stress.
What words do you want to stress? Mm-hmm. Go ahead and underline it. Mm-hmm. And one of the other things, too, because no one really likes to speak out or look funny or look stupid in front of other people. So I make them run around the class saying random stuff.
Loosen
just,
them up.
Yeah, just start screaming. Just right. do it.
Well, it obviously is working, because, again, in the Festival of Words, you have lots of kids involved, lots of people in the community involved in expressing themselves and, again, learning about the literary arts to understand themselves and to express that to the community. This is a component of Festival of Words, a very important component of it. Your performance will be as well. Are you performing on the community stage, Alex?
Yes.
Okay. Hosting it and performing on there. In addition, and we're going to read a couple more poems here. In addition to the drive-by poetry, the community stage, there are some scheduled workshops and
yes.
readers. Maybe we can just kind of list some of those.
Sure, not a problem. For example, Bonnie McDonald and Zero Skidmore, which are part of the Spoken Word Slam team in Baton Rouge, they will have a workshop on Thursday, November 8th from 6:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at the South St. Landry Community Library in Sunset, Louisiana. We also have an awards ceremony that we're very proud of, and that takes place from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. And this is one of the components that's really great that reaches out to kids, and that's the Rites of, I'm sorry, not the Rites, it's Spring the Festival Awards contest, and it's a writing contest that we send out to all of the schools from around about four parishes. And the kids, more and more every year, we're getting more and more kids turning in their work, and they get an award, and they get that sense of pride, mm-hmm. and they're very proud of it. They get a little book, but really they're just happy to meet these writers and to be able to read their work in front of their peers, and to just be able to know that someone is reading their work. They're very proud of it. And we also, with the writing contest with Festival Words, we work very closely with Acadiana Writing Project, who has a contest in January, The Rites of Spring. So it's the whole sense of community mm-hmm. again. We take our contest with these students and we say, look what you can do. Now take this to Rites of Spring with Acadiana Writing Project in January. And then we just continue. So it's as if we are taking the children at the, and we treat them as what they are, which is precious. And we take them one by one and move them along. Mm-hmm. And they just feel a sense of love and acceptance. And so that's just one of the things. We also have Patrice Melnick and Jarvis DeBerry doing a public reading at Casa Azul Friday, November 9th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m.
All right. And again, the website so that people can go in case they're not jotting all of these events down, festivalofwords.org, and you can find a complete listing of the readings, the workshops, and what's going on. Again, my guests, Bruce Cohen, Alex Johnson, and Ross Spencer with the Festival of Words in Grand Coteau, Sunset, Arneville, and environs. And Bruce, I know you wanted to read a couple pieces here. I think you wanted to share one of Patrice's.
Yes, I want to do, since Patrice just had a book published recently, I would like to read one of her poems, and then I have another poem from Bonnie McDonald's I'd like to read, too, that really speaks to me as well. This one is entitled Seashell. You stand there slouched, hands jammed in pockets, your calloused fingers finger a guitar pick deep in the left pocket, your big toes sticks out through the hole of one sock. Where did you go that night that you did not care to come home? Your teenage frame running through skating rinks and adrenaline-ridden shopping malls, getting drunk behind the bookstore with an Indian who calls himself Geronimo. He tells you stay in school and you both drink to that. Your body tenses like a colt on a fresh spring morning. Seeing you with your nervous, spring-loaded energy, I wish you safety. You crawl home coolly and eat your cereal dry. Your morning hands crab claw across the morning newspaper. Sometimes I can't watch the way your heart throbs as you cradle the throne to your ear like a seashell. Scent of sea brine fills the room. Whose voice sings to you from inside the shell?
That was Patrice Melnick, again, the organizer of the festival.
And that was entitled Seashell. This is Bonnie McDonald, as you mentioned, from Baton Rouge. We have time?
2 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, this won't take long. I like this. This is simply entitled, Your listening disarmed me suddenly. I was making nonsense, not sense, as I meant to. I was wading carelessly through what wasn't a conversation, but a monodrome, a uniscussion, a non-sensational. All of it could have been left unsaid. Still, you considered all the drivel that was dribbling. You hummed and hummed, You poked around patiently for a point. It all might come to, well, it didn't. It wouldn't. It was aimless, in fact. Just hitchhiking, it circled and sounded and pointed back to itself over and over and over until the genuineness of your listening silenced me ingenious. It spoke to me clearly. Unspeakingly, you listened so well, I could hear myself saying what wasn't worth listening to.
And that was Bruce Cohen giving us some of the many, many words that we're going to hear during Festival of Words by my guests, Alex Johnson, her stage name, Poetic Soul, very much a part of this festival, helping with the drive-by poetry as well as the community stage. Bruce Cohen organizing the drive-by poetry and Ross Spencer on the board of Festival of Words. Drop by their website, festivalofwords.org, for a complete listing of all activities and help in this amazing collective of art and inspiration that's inspiring so many young people in our community. Thank you all.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Things that I used to do.